It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
There have been some very serious charges brought against Bishop Eddie Long of Atlanta, pastor of one of the largest churches in America, influential Christian leader, charges of serious sexual sin against young men. He spoke up for himself this past Sunday. We're going to talk about that redemptively today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can email me directly at Dr. Brown, drbrown at askdrbrown.org. Okay. Before I get into the heart of this, I want to say clearly that we are not here to be judge and jury of Bishop Eddie Long. I want to make that perfectly clear. This is not a forum for people to either attack him or show that he can't possibly be guilty. I want to talk about our reaction, our response, in a redemptive way. Now, here's the question I want to ask you, because this can be very revealing. What was your first reaction when you heard the charges? What was your first reaction when you heard that Bishop Eddie Long had allegedly been involved sexually with a number of young men in his church, now four total, bringing lawsuits against him? What was your first reaction? This is very telling. It tells us more about ourselves and our perspective on things. But those that heard the news, especially those that were familiar with his ministry, what was your first reaction? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm curious to see if it varies based on familiarity with his ministry or not, based on being charismatic or non-charismatic, based on being black or white. Curious to see if there is a difference there. Now, I want to tell you some of my first reaction and give you further background. And there are a whole lot of really critically important issues we're going to talk about. But to talk about them properly, we have to kind of tiptoe our way through a minefield. So we're going to do that together. All right? So allow me to be candid, understanding that my goal is ultimately redemptive, the glory of God, the good of the body, and that, again, we are not here to try Bishop Eddie Long. All right. When I heard the news, of course, my first thought was, I hope it's not true. I hope it's not true. If I disagreed with everything that he preached, or if I thought he was the greatest preacher in the world, either way, he is attached to the name of Jesus. Either way, in our society, he is looked to as a highly influential Christian leader. Either way, there are people that know his name and associate his name with the gospel. So whether you go to his church and love his ministry, whether you take issue with his prosperity doctrine, the fact of the matter is he is a known leader in the body of Christ, and his name is associated with the name of Jesus, which means that if there is reproach to his name, to his ministry, that is reproach to the name of Jesus. Now, I'm telling you my reaction. You may have reacted exactly the same or have a profoundly different reaction. And I want you to be candid with me, and we're going to work through this redemptively. All right? First reaction, I hope it's not true. However, that being said, I have had friends for some years, national leaders, other prominent leaders in different cities, black Christian leaders, white Christian leaders, who have been telling me there are going to be a whole lot of scandals about to hit that'll be worse than the Ted Haggard scandal, and that there are going to be young men coming forward suing a lot of black Christian leaders in America for these very charges. So I have been waiting for the day when this would happen with concern that these things could be true, but with the hope that they're not true. And always, as far as individuals are concerned, innocent till proven guilty. Now, again, I'm giving you my response and how I'm handling it, but I'm very interested to hear your first reaction. And I've got a host of varied, very interesting comments already on Facebook. Join the discussion there at Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, on Facebook. Now, let me tell you the next reaction for me as a leader, self-examination. My first reaction is not to condemn someone else. Oh, I very much differ with the prosperity emphasis in Bishop Long's ministry. I very much differ with the style of ministry that very much exalts a person. I very much recognize that he must have done a lot of good for a lot of people also in tangible, spiritual, and practical ways. But all that's secondary. All that is secondary. What I agree with, what I don't agree with, what I appreciate, what I don't appreciate, all that is secondary. I immediately begin to look at my own life for self-examination. Perhaps if you had been in his shoes, let's say he's guilty. I hope he's not. But perhaps if you had been in his shoes, you would have fallen far worse and never made it a quarter of the way to where he's made it. Perhaps if I was in his shoes, I would be in worship. We must, before we react against others, look at our own lives. And I will say this, as one of the leadership role, by God's grace, having an influence over a certain amount of people, for good or for bad, I fear and tremble, excuse me, when I hear reports like this, because I know I stand by grace. Yeah, I'm committed to the Lord, but I know I stand by grace. And I know every one of us, if every last secret of our thoughts was exposed, if every failing was exposed, God could make any of us look like complete laughing stocks before the world. We stand by grace and mercy. That being said, there's a whole lot of accountability. There's a whole lot of accountability. If Bishop Long is guilty, can you imagine what he's going through now? To whatever extent he has a solid relationship with God, can you imagine what he's going through? The anguish and the recognition that his whole life and ministry and things he's worked for decades could collapse around him. If he's not guilty, can you imagine the hellish attack and the question of how do you repel these things? And once the dirt is out there, what do you do with it? Now, there are a whole lot of subplots here. One subplot is the state of the American church and sexual scandals in our midst. And I say this not to throw stones, trust me. I say this with fear and trembling before God, appreciative of the fact that he's been merciful to me and to others. Oh, listen, if Bishop Long is guilty, of course he has to step down. Of course. Of course he has to go through a process of restoration and true repentance. I'm not making light of sin. I am saying that my first reaction before casting a stone or judging a person is to examine my own life because I know the mercy that's poured out by God in my own life. But there are a whole bunch of issues here that we're going to sort through. There is the issue of the state of the body. There is the issue of how we deal with charges of sin. There is the issue of homosexuality and how this is playing itself out in certain aspects of society. A whole bunch of things to talk about, but we're going to do it redemptively. Let me grab one call before the break. Brenda in Richmond, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you. Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Yes, I'm calling to comment on my first reaction to the Bishop Long's
yes,
situation.
Please.
I tell you that my first reaction was, what about the body, the Christian body? Sometimes as Christians, we have a tendency to follow the leader and not necessarily God.
Mm.
And to me, that's where my heart went, because I don't believe that with a church that large, well, I don't care whether it's a small church or a large church, if the Christians does not realize they are following, they should be following God and not their Christian leader, it is going to be terrible. It's going to be some trouble. everywhere until we stand firm on we are following God, because man is always going to fail us. But if we keep focused on who God is and what he is in our life and not worship our leaders, and I'm not saying his congregation is worshiping him.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is we have to know why we do what we do, and it's not about man.
Yeah, you know, Brenda, that's a great way to start the conversation here. By all means, leaders do have roles in the body, but if our faith is going to rise or fall based on what a man or woman does, we're in trouble before we get out of the gate. Brenda, thanks
exactly.
for weighing in. I appreciate it. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. What was your first reaction when you heard the allegations against Bishop Eddie Long? We'll be back. All right, we are about to walk through a minefield of controversy here with sensitivity and wisdom. So stay with me as we do it. Michael Brown, welcome back to the Line of Fire. We're talking about the allegations that have come against Bishop Eddie Long. We are not here to try him or to accuse him or to exonerate him, but to talk about the situation redemptively. So first question, what was your first reaction when you heard the charges? You heard the charges against Bishop Long. What's the first thing that you thought? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And on the heels of that, in light of Brenda's comments that we just heard right before the break, do we have our eyes on leaders too much? Does our faith rise or fall too much based on what leaders in the body do or our local pastor does? Or is it only right that our faith is really tied in with them because they are supposed to be examples and they carry greater accountability for good or for bad? This past Sunday, Bishop Long addressed the issues, although he did not specifically deny them. He said that he'd be fighting them. So here, just a little segment of his own words from this past Sunday morning.
I've been accused. I'm under attack. I want you to know, as I said earlier, I am not a perfect man. But this thing, I'm going to fight. And I want you to know one other thing. I feel like David against Goliath. But I got five rocks, and I haven't thrown one yet.
All right, now, before I go back to the phones, read some interesting comments that have come in on Facebook, let me start to walk through this minefield. All right, the Church of America is in real bad shape in many ways. Thank God for the good that is happening. Thank God for the things that God is doing in our midst that are wonderful. And grieve over the compromised carnal state of much of the body. We have preached a message that it's all about me for so long. We have watered down the claims of the gospel. We have preached a get rich on the gospel message. We have preached a message that doesn't matter how you live, everything is just the same because God is love. We have so watered things down in so many ways, gotten into emotion rather than scripture, etc., etc., that we must first and foremost take this as a wake-up call, even if the charges are false. I'm not praying that they're false. They are what they are. I'm hoping that they're false, even if it's hoping against hope. But we've got to look a little deeper at some of the issues going on, all right? If you look in gay activist movement, if you look at the most of the famous spokespeople, be they media people, political people, just leaders of activism, gay, lesbian activism, you will see that with rare exception, they are white. With rare exception, they are white. If you will just look and think about it, or if you go to a gay pride event, you'll see that it's overwhelmingly white. To the skewing of our demographics, it's overwhelmingly white. On the flip side, if you look in Black American culture, you will see that there is more conservatism in terms of moral values. You will see that the idea of same-sex marriage is much less popular in Black America, in particular in Black Christian America. You will see that there is a stronger emphasis on family morality within Black culture as compared to white culture, and that gay activism is far less popular in Black culture than in white culture. That's a wonderful thing. That's a positive thing. Of course, gay activists just look at the Black community and Black churches as being much more homophobic and claim that Bishop Eddie Long is a homophobe because he preaches strongly against homosexuality. Thank God he does that. And he preaches that there is a way out through Jesus. Thank God he does that. The problem is that from everything I understand from Black Christian leader friends of mine, there is an epidemic of men having sex with men in the Black churches, known as on the down low, or MSM, men who have sex with men, and in Black culture in general, that men would still identify as heterosexual, would be married, and would scorn gay activism, and yet are privately having sexual relations with men. This I've spoken to Black leaders about over the years who've shared their concern and their grief and have told me, just wait till the lawsuits start coming forward against well-known Black pastors in America, because this is what's going on. We, on the one hand, we have to see the strength that's been in the Black American culture, in particular the Black Christian culture, that is so much more positive towards the gospel, so much more positive towards scriptural values, so much more positive towards family values in many ways than much of the white Christian culture. And in terms of faith in general, a couple years ago, maybe 3 years back, a study was done by a major university in America on percentage of atheists in America. The general population, 6% of the population professing atheist, okay, 6%. Among Jews, 8%. Among African Americans, 0%. I thought that was astounding and wonderful. And, of course, as a Jew, grievous on that stat. But in terms of the faith in God and the Black culture, I thought that was wonderful. And yet, there is this really serious issue, the elephant in the room, that must be addressed. And I've got a whole lot more to say about that. And on the other side of the break, I'm going to share a few recent things with you. You may not want to hear about our culture at large, but you need to hear. Let me go to the phones quickly. David in Holland, Michigan. Thank you for calling, sir.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I was getting ready for work this morning, and Good Morning America happened to be on, and I saw the story, and I just put my head in my hands, and my wife said, you know, it could be a complete fabrication. But even if it is, I mean, at best, you know, be more careful. And at worst, you know, now you add lying on top of it. And I'm not perfect, but they're already coming, you know, the media and the left is coming so hard at us already as a church, as the people of God. We just make it so big and easy. You know, it's like a punch to the gut every time you hear about one of these leaders having a huge accusation against them. And it hurts in a way. Even though you're not involved, it still hurts.
Oh, yeah, David, you're absolutely right. It hurts. Well, you know, we are involved, really, because it's same body, same family, same name of Jesus. But I appreciate your thoughts here. The statement, I'm not perfect, is of concern to David when these types of accusations come. All right, we come back. Some news you really need to hear. Trust me.
Inspire
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast, Michael Brown. Glad to be with you having a very serious discussion, a redemptive discussion, in which I'll give some bottom line thoughts at the end of the program concerning the serious allegations that have come against Bishop Eddie Long, one of the most influential megachurch pastors in America. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What was your first reaction? First reaction when you heard the charges. Just a quick reminder before I give you some relevant news and then read some of your comments. Today's the last day that you can sign up for my live online class tomorrow on history and characteristics of revival. It starts Tuesday morning, goes through Friday morning, about 12 hours of teaching. You'll be live with the students in our School of Ministry. And it'll be a life-changing, eye-opening, impacting class. If you'd like to sign up, go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And right on the homepage, there's a banner. You can click on that. You can subscribe as an individual, group subscription. If you're not going to be able to watch all the classes live, then we will actually give you the right later on to watch them video on demand. And I'll tell you, this absolutely ties in with the subject today, because we desperately need revival in America, an outpouring of brokenhearted repentance for the largely spiritually bankrupt state that so many of us in the body find ourselves in. Lots of activity, lots of church ministry, even buildings filled, does not necessarily equate to spiritual health and vitality. Okay. I said that there's some news items that you should know about. I've been like a broken record on the issue of why we cannot stick our heads in the sand in terms of homosexual activism and its effect on America. I assure you there are other subjects I'd rather research. I assure you there are other subjects I'd rather talk about. But in my role here to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity, in my role here to help sound the alarm, I have to share these things, and you'll thank me sooner or later. Let me say again that if you're struggling with same-sex attraction, God loves you exactly the same as he loves a heterosexual. Let me say that Jesus shed the same blood for homosexual and heterosexual alike. Let me also say that heterosexual sin has done far more to destroy the institution of marriage than has homosexual sin. Rampant no-fault divorce, rampant sexual sin of all different kinds in the body has done more to destroy marriage and family than has the work of homosexual activists. That being said, gay activism wants to influence children in school in the normalization of homosexuality and transgenderism. It is pervasive in the media. It goes right through our universities. It's pervasive in, quote, diversity training in the business world. So I think you should know these things. We can't stick our heads in the sand. We're called to be salt and light. So this news from Muskegon, Michigan. Simona Shores High School students say administrators stole the homecoming king throne from the rightful winner, a transgender senior. In other words, a girl. A girl. Oakley Reed, who was born as Oakley Marie, but who now goes as Oakley Marshall, or Oak for short, won the vote of the student body. The senior class said they were voting for this girl to be homecoming king, because she identifies as a boy. Principal said no. Ballot gave two choices, vote for boy for king, girl for queen, and school records, Oakley is still listed as female. She is female. She may be very confused about her gender, but she is female. Already the school's made concessions. Oakley says they let me wear a male tux for band uniform, and they're going to let me wear the male robe and cap for graduation. They call me Oak, and they say he, him, his, the teen said. Plans on having sex change operation after years of counseling at the age of 18. Students in Muskegon, Michigan voted for a girl to be homecoming king. Reminds me of a comment back in 2007 when there were votes for a young lady named Cynthia, voting for her to be the homecoming king. And one of the students said, 16-year-old girl, we live in a generation where chicks are dudes and dudes are chicks in a school near you, my friends. And then if you missed this last year, just a reminder that George Mason University elected as homecoming queen Rianne Sassy Balsley. Rianne is a man who puts on performances as a drag queen and was elected homecoming queen of George Mason University. And an article by John Aloysius Farrell on U.S. News and World Report said this: to the students of George Mason University, I salute you. The headline was, Sex of George Mason University Homecoming Drag Queen is Good News. May I say it again? We need to wake up to reality. This is what is happening all around us. This is not just some fringe thing that we can ignore. This is increasingly mainstream. You say, well, what's it got to do with the issue with Bishop Eddie Long? Oh, please hear me. These are accusations against him, just like against Ted Haggard, of homosexual activity. And in both cases, Ted Haggard was known as a leader who spoke out against same-sex so-called marriage. And Bishop Eddie Long was considered to be a homophobe by gay activists. Oh, trust me, they're all over this. They have pictures that he sent to some of the young men in his muscle shirt, standing maybe in a bathroom area. There's nothing lewd in the picture itself, but it's a picture of himself. Now, listen, I'm willing to say that it was innocent and it was just an encouragement to someone to keep working out, stay in shape, okay? You may tell me I'm stupid for saying that, but I would like, if I was accused, for people to believe the best until all the facts came out, okay? But what's going to happen is, yet again, church leaders are going to be afraid to address this issue. Yet again, church leaders are going to say, well, behind the scenes, we're falling. Behind the scenes, we're failing. So we have to quit addressing these issues. No, we have to get our act in order first. Whether Bishop Long is guilty or not, I don't know any more than you know. But I'm saying throughout the body, we know the scandals we've had. We know the junk that's gone on. We know how the enemy has come to take leaders down and how leaders have opened the door. We need to be on our faces repenting. We need to be on our faces recognizing things really are messed up and the show just can't keep marching on. From that position of humility, asking God for grace and mercy, we must clean house and stand up and speak the truth in love at any cost. Some fascinating comments from our Facebook participants when we come back. Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, always glad to be with you. Having a redemptive discussion today about the allegations coming against Bishop Eddie Long. We are not here to try him. We're not here to exonerate him. We're here to talk about this redemptively. 866-34-TRUTH. Visit us online at askdrbrown.org. Okay, a few comments to read that I think are quite relevant. Albert, actually one of the grads from our ministry school, said this: I know the ministry very well, being at the Atlanta area. I've been there several times. I've even had the opportunity to minister there once. Everything they do is above board with regards to people that come into that place. I even knew some of the arts directors there. They're great people. If any of the allegations are true, this will be shocking. The ministry has done quite a bit for this area. I hope and pray for the best in this situation. I'm not saying he's innocent and no fault is in him, but I'm just saying the media is having a field day with this here in Atlanta. We should continue to be careful and not crucify him through the media. Let's continue to pray for him in the body of Christ. This is really not good any way you look at it. You know, it's very easy for us to find fault with aspects of someone's ministry or message, in this case, a prosperity emphasis or an emphasis on entitlement because of success, or an emphasis on lifting up people, which can happen in lots and lots of different settings, by the way. I know people who have ministries who the main thing they do is expose other ministries. They believe they're doing a good thing and exposing sin, and they expose how people follow those other ministries in a cult-like way, but then the people follow the one exposing the ministries in a cult-like way. But Albert reminds us of the good that the ministry is doing as well, and how this is the media attacking. So we need to remember this is the world coming against a Christian leader, but if the charges are true, they need to be assessed the same way. Todd, another grad from ministry school, said, "He that is without sin cast the first stone, go ahead and chuck it. Where is the praying church? We as a body of believers so quickly write men and women of God off so fast it's a shame. I just received a call from a pastor and friend that after 30 years of marriage got a divorce. Do I throw him under the bus? Where was I as an intercessor? Where was I as a friend? Where are we all as men and women of God? Take a look in the mirror." A great first response, rather than throwing a stone at the leader, who, if he is guilty, will have to step down and will have to go through serious repentance and restoration, if there can be public restoration of ministry. We understand that. But if the first reaction is, all those preachers, phony preachers, careful, because the way we judge others is the way that we will be judged. JJ in Charlotte, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, yeah. What I feel about it is excuse for being out of breath, hard working just now.
Thanks for running to get back on the phone. I know we lost you earlier.
Yeah, so what I think is that if he, my first reaction was, oh my God. First, it was a Catholic church, and now it's happening in mega churches.
Yeah.
So when I heard that, I just knew what was going to happen, that, you know, especially in the body of Christ, to be attacked like that, it was going to be crucial, especially after condemning the Muslims.
Yeah. So the stakes are higher. The Catholic Church has stood steadfast against homosexual practice. Bishop Eddie Long stood strongly against homosexual practice. And then if people are caught within it, it's like a double whammy, really.
So here's my thing about it. Let's just say if he did it,
yeah,
should he be able to come out clean to his congregation to say, you know, as a witness from God that, you know, I'm guilty of this and I ask for forgiveness?
Yeah, you know, here's the deal. When any of us are caught doing something wrong, the first fleshly reaction is to deny it or to justify it or to try to make it less severe than it is. And you'll often have, if a spouse is caught in adultery, that it takes a while to get the whole confession out. But that being said, if he's guilty, the right scenario is that he humbles him. First, he gets his leadership team together, confesses it's all true, then agrees on a plan to step down from ministry and go through a process of repentance and restoration. And then next step, he tells his congregation and the world he's guilty and seeks to model true repentance as a leader. If the sin is there, perhaps he can model true repentance, true restoration as a leader. Hey, thanks for weighing in, JJ. I appreciate it, and I share the pain over the whole situation with you. More to come, and then my bottom line on this whole situation. Stay with us. All right, we are short on time, but I've got a lot to say, and I will get it in Michael Brown, welcome back to the Line of Fire. We have a redemptive discussion today concerning the allegations that have come against Bishop Eddie Long. Let me grab one more call, and then I want to lay out in summary form how I think we need to respond to this. Michael and Charlotte, so your first response when you heard the news, what was it?
Okay, when I first heard the news, Dr. Brown, I wasn't surprised, nor was I, you know, taken aback by what I heard. And I'm not saying that to cast judgment, but my comment is that as lay people in the church, what we do is put these pastors and televangelists on a pedestal, and when they fall, we are surprised about it. I mean, Bishop Long mentioned that he's not perfect, and not to use that as an excuse. We start to explain these preachers are more highly than we ought to. When they fall, we're surprised about it.
Got it. So we put them almost in superstar status so that they're untouchable.
Exactly. I mean, we act like they're celestial, and we forget that they have flesh and blood just like we are.
Got it. Yeah, I got to jump in here. We're short on time, but thanks, Michael, for weighing in. I appreciate it. Many have raised similar concerns about our megachurch structure. Let me say I have pastors, friends of mine, good friends who pastor megachurches, but who do their best to avoid the superstar syndrome. But without question, just the nature of the beast, you've got a big church or you've got a ministry on TV, you've got a ministry on radio, whatever it is, you become known a certain way and you can be overexalted. That being said, by all means, oh God help us, this should not be how leaders behave if the charges are true. So here's my bottom line on the Line of Fire today. Number one, the accusations, whether true or not, are yet again another wake-up call to the church, because we have an epidemic of sexual sin in our midst. We have an epidemic of unbiblical, unjustified divorce in our midst. We have an epidemic of straying from gospel foundations in our midst. First and foremost, this is a wake-up call, in particular those of us in leadership. Let us search our own hearts and lives. And if there are issues, if there are struggles, let's come clean and get the help that we need to get. It's number one. Number two, we cannot run away from the issue of homosexuality. We cannot run away from the struggles that people are having. We cannot run away from the effect that gay activism is having on our society. And all the more if we're going to stand against the sin of homosexual practice while caring about the people compassionately, all the more we have to have our own houses in order. Number three, there are a few reactions that are wrong reactions. One is this. Well, hey, everybody's human, and you can't expect people to go without sin. Well, hang on. We are human. We all need mercy. I need mercy 24/7 like everyone else. But leaders have to live a certain way. And if we can't get our act together, then we cannot lead. We must be above reproach. So one wrong reaction is look the other way. The other wrong reaction, crucify the guy. Just throw him under the bus. How dare he do that kind of thing? We must have, as someone insightfully posted on Facebook, we must have compassion. We must have accountability. So friends, these are serious issues. I am concerned that this is but the tip of the iceberg of what we're going to be hearing across the nation. But God can use this for good. The reproach is terrible, grievous, but God can use this for good to wake up a sleeping church. Weigh in with your thoughts on AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire to join in the discussion. Back with you tomorrow.